The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.
Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. It's Matt Ireland once again. Today I'm speaking to a friend of mine, Chris Parris, who's quite a well-travelled gentleman, and he's got a few tales of the road for us to talk about. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
I'm not too bad, thanks, Matt. Yourself?
Not too bad. I've picked up a bit of a cold today, so I do apologise to the listener if I start sneezing, but I shall endeavour not to.
No worries.
Yeah, just typical. We plan to record a podcast to pick a cold up, but there we go. Yeah. These things happen. Anyway, so I believe, Chris, that you are like myself, and you're not actually from a transport-based family as such. So how on earth did you end up getting into this industry?
Yeah, well, I say my dad was a teacher, my mum was a foster carer, and I don't know. I suppose it's on your travels, you see these big trucks, and you're in awe of them. Yeah. And ever since I was little, I just wanted to be in the truck industry.
Right.
You know, at school, you know, I'd save me pocket money, I'd buy, you know, Trucking Driver and Trucking International and Headlight magazine. Yeah. There's a blast from the past.
Oh, there is, yeah.
And I'd buy all these magazines and, you know, cut out the pictures and stick them on my wall. And yeah, I say there was no family history in trucking at all. Like even, you know, grandparents, aunties, uncles, no one had been into it. But
Right. Yeah,
it's something I always wanted to do.
Okay, fair enough. So how did you get started? Because obviously when we leave school, it's changed now a bit, but at the time we left school, you couldn't really go and get a driving job, could you?
No. I left school. I started working in a warehouse just for a bit of money and saved that, done my driving licence. Managed to get a job on starting at the bottom, driving a transit van, getting a few multi-drop deliveries.
Right.
And I enjoyed that, you know, just enjoyed being out on the road.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd have me radio on all day, doing me deliveries. Saved up again from there. And when I was just after I was 21, I did me class two.
Right. Okay.
So, I mean, I got me driving experience, but I have no class two experience, obviously, just got my license. And there was a company, now defunct, they were based in Kirkcaldy called United Freight Distribution.
Yeah.
And they just, luckily for me, they'd opened a depot in Warrington, which is where I used to live. So they wanted a driver to do tramping around London all week. You'd start on a Sunday afternoon, drive down to London, and then they'd send trailers down to you all week and you'd get the bits off the trailer. And I was just doing anywhere inside the North and South Circular. So obviously, wasn't many drivers, like, you know, putting their hands up for that London all week, day in, day out. So I was young and keen. And fair to him, no experience, you know. But they gave me the job and off I went in a little, I had a flat top Renault Premium 210, I remember it was, a V-Reg, V136. and I spent 5 nights out a week in that.
Flipping
out. And, you know, at the time, you'd never done any, I've never driven anything bigger. So I had my bunk, I had, you know, this is before in-cab fridges, so I had a little cool box in the passenger footwell, lockers full of maps, everything on the bed, and then when you go to bed, everything's on the passenger seat. And I did that for a couple of years, and I really enjoyed it. And, you know, you get into, you know, you're doing London every day. It was all mostly builders merchants. We did builders merchants for Velux windows, which came from Scotland, and also like paper bags and bits of paper for like Walt Disney head office. You used to do a lot of offices. So you'd have a tail lift and a little pump truck and, yeah, happy as Larry delivering all that around London. And, you know, you get to know all the back streets and the shortcuts. And, yeah, it was a good job. It was like, a, you know, baptism of fire. But I thought, now I've done London, you know,
Yeah.
I can go anywhere now.
Absolutely, yeah. But I suppose as well, if you're doing it week in, week out, ultimately London is just another big city, isn't it? I know it does seem worse for a driver than any other city in the UK, certainly in my opinion. But if you're doing it week in, week out, you're going to have your regular customers, so you're going to know where you can stop and get your brakes.
Yeah.
And that's going to make it a lot
that's
easier
it,
to
you
do,
know.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's better, you know, route planning. I know they're open. They won't be open till late, so I'll go here first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. And I say especially, it was only an 18-tonner, so it is a bit more manoeuvrable than an Arctic, which is why, really, I was in the job, you know. It was to stop the Arctics going into London.
Yeah.
Or they do the big drops, and anything that was a pallet or two, they put on me, so.
Right.
Yeah. It was all right. And I did 2 years on the old rigid, and again, saved up a bit of money, put myself through the class one. They used to let me do a bit of yard shunting as well for, like, you know, hooking up in the yard at Warrington. And, you know, so I got a bit of a sense for the class ones. So yeah. Then, yeah, saved up my money, did a week-long course, passed me class one. I started with them on the class one and moved up. And then I started doing the Southwest for them. And a bit of Kent. Basically, yeah. They'd send the trailers down from Scotland, and we used to come down to, and we've now got to say, all the old truck stops, Rugby truck stop,
yeah.
Wolverhampton truck stop,
yeah.
That's another one that's gone. They used to send the trailers down there overnight, and I'd pick up from one of them two, and off I'd go down to Kent or the Southwest,
yeah.
Tip and reload, often rice pudding from Ambrosia's for Thompson's,
yeah.
Coming back up to Scotland, I'd take it back up to the Midlands. And the Scottish lad would take it back up to Glasgow, Edinburgh way. So,
right.
Yeah, it worked well.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad job.
Yeah. So what happened to them then?
Well, they went bust. But before I'd left, because basically one of the nights I was doing a Southwest job and I was in Avonmouth truck stop for the night.
Yeah.
And a chap pulled up next to me, as you do, and chatting away to me. And he says, he was going to Italy the next day, and I was like, oh, I'll fancy a bit of that.
Yeah.
And he said, if you want, have a word with our place. He says, you've got to be away for 3 weeks, but if you don't mind the time away, you'll take on new starts. So
perfect.
I thought I was a bit not reluctant, I didn't think much had come of it. I was like 23 at the time.
Yeah.
And I say, I'd only had me class one about 6 months.
Yep.
So anyway, company was called Ribes or European Road Freight. Out
oh, yes, with the Magnums.
Yeah. So I did end up with a Magnum. So anyway, I went up to them. I phoned them up. The manager said, oh, pop down on Saturday, come and give us a visit and we'll have a chat. So obviously went up there on the Saturday, seen Dave, the manager there, the owner. And so I just put my cards, because he said, what European experience have you got and how long you've been driving? So I said, you know, class one, 6 months. I've been driving trucks for 2 years now. And he said, well, what European experience have you got? So
yeah.
Like, you know, put my cards on the table. I said, 10 years ago, I went to France on a school trip. And he said, you'll do for me.
Oh, brilliant.
And you know, he gave me the set. He says, oh, if you want, he says, oh, I'll see you a week Monday. So put me notice in with UFD, and I packed all my bags and thinking, what am I going to need for 3 weeks away? And turned up in Hull. And there it was, big old Magnum, an ex-reg Magnum.
Yeah.
And then I got that and I thought I was king of the road, you know. Previously, I'd had this flat top premium and a DAF 85 when I was on the Arctics
for
UFD. Yeah, so I've got this massive, you know, Renault Premium. And as I say, I've only ever been abroad once on a school trip. And I say, got me papers. He says, follow these lads. They're all going down to Italy. A load of cow hides for the leather plants down there.
Right.
So, off I went. And I'd been in about 10 countries in a week. I went down through Swiss. So, we got the boat to Zeebrugge.
Yeah.
So we come off in Belgium, fueled up in Luxembourg, down through France, into Swiss, at St. Louis down to Chiasso on the days when you had to have heavy permits because Swiss was still 28 tons. So we had these heavy permits, you got them stamped, you stopped for your road tax, popped out of Chiasso into Italy, went and delivered. And then, like the olden days as well, you'd phone through, say, oh, I'm ticked. And we're like, go and find a fax machine, we'll send you your reload details. So off I went and got me fax, 9 title collections round Modena. Yeah. And he phoned me up and he said, take your time, just do one, and then you go to the next one. I said, no rush, you know, you've never been abroad before, so just take your time and don't worry. And I did, you know, just went to one place, and they're all in the same area as well, like the tiles, so you'd get to one, you'd ask them, where's this place? And they'd point you in the right direction, and like while I was on the way down there as well, got myself a little Learn Italian CD, so I got the old basics.
Yeah.
You know, because this is before you had Google Translate and Google Maps. You were all on maps. You had the Bibles of Italy and, you know, big European road atlas. So, found all them.
Excellent. So, learning things like aspetta and Ino Posso di Giorno and all the classic Italian phrases.
Uno Bicchiere Vino Rosso. That was my favourite.
Absolutely.
Just to make sure it was all right on an evening. Yeah, so then, as I say, did my collections and came up through Austria and Germany.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was an eye-opener.
But I bet it was
great, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was king of the road.
Brilliant. It must have been fantastic. Because I remember one of the first times I sort of went south through Switzerland, because I went to Switzerland when I was 18, but I only went as far as Bâle and then, reload in France. But I just remember, like the first time seeing the mountains of the Alps as you're heading down that way, and it's just the view is just absolutely stunning, isn't it, down there? For somebody who's never been, it's just amazing, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. And then you go through the Gotthard Tunnel, and it's about 20 kilometers long, and you're just in it, and you're in it, and you think, is this going to end? And then you pop out, you know, on the Italian side.
Yeah.
And really magical. And even like going over the Brenner Pass and up, you know, around Innsbruck in Austria, and it was just something completely different.
Yeah.
And the lifestyle over there as well, you know, you'd park up in France or in Germany or Italy at the restaurants, and, you know, you go in and they sit you on a table that's got other people on, and they'll fill that table up, and then they fill the next table. You don't just go and sit on your own, you know, and you'd be on there with like Frenchmen, Dutchmen, Italians. And, you know, everyone sort of understands a few little words, and you know, speaking with your hands and you're pointing, and it was always a good crack on an evening, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting your truck on your own, there was always someone to talk to and, you know, just have a, you know, get away from the truck for a while.
Absolutely. Yeah. Much needed R&R.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Without a doubt. So how long were you at Ryby's for then?
I was there a good few years.
Yeah?
Yeah. I did a couple of trips to Portugal and Spain for him, but the main work was Italy. And it was good fun. And, you know, in that time, we were doing a lot of, obviously being away 3 weeks, we were either at Hay Bay on a weekend or you'd come into Folkestone.
Yeah.
So obviously being from Warrington, it was struggling to get home a lot.
Yeah.
So I used to stop in Folkestone a lot. I got to know a few people there. In the end, they ended up moving to Folkestone.
Oh, right.
You know, just where it landed. Because obviously, like living at Warrington, I was still living with my mum. Yeah. You know, I'd only just not long after I passed my test. So, and then working 3 weeks away, it was like, well, I'm not going to look for anywhere yet because I'm never home to enjoy it. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I moved into Folkestone, and that was good. That was a time when, you know, the Folkestone truck park was open and it was, you know, on a weekend, it was ram full, and ended up getting a flat above the pub called Gillespie's.
Right.
And anyone who's ever parked in Folkestone will know that pub. It's on the corner before you come into the truck park. And it was a good old lively pub full of all the truck drivers in there on a weekend. You know, you'd come in the pub, and you'd go up the laundrette, do the washing, do the Asda, come back down and spend the evening in the pub and, you know, telling stories and, you know, seeing where everyone's been, where everyone was going, and that was good fun. I lived in Folkestone for 16 years. So.
Oh, wow. What a while then.
Yeah. I mean, I'm only just down the road now in Dover, but we'll come to that later on.
We will,
but,
Yeah,
Ribes, it was good fun. And then after a while, I just fancied a change. And I went on, I did a few little bits and pieces. I did a bit for Stobart's on their international. They used to have, before it was like the foreign outbase depots that they have got now. They had one in Loughran.
Yes.
And it was all English lads on left-hand drive, Belgian-plated Volvos. They're all the low-ride 42s.
Yes. Version 1 FHs, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was all right. There wasn't much internet. It was mainly out to Belgium and Holland with the cans. The heyday had gone, where they were doing like the NAFI work down to Kosovo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was all right. It was a bit of a stopgap. They put me on there. The European work went quiet. And then they put us all, they got a contract with Tesco. So they kept us on the European contracts with European money and they let us do the weekends out. Still.
Yeah.
So I dropped on. I do all the Tesco's in the week from out there. They had a depot at Crick, a big Tesco depot. I don't think it's there now.
Right.
But we do all that in the week. Then on a Friday, I'd go down to Dartford and in the days before satellite tracking, I'd drop me a trailer in Tesco at Purfleet there.
Yeah.
And a bobtail home to Folkestone, you know, an hour or so down the road.
Yeah.
Every weekend, I used to bobtail it. Parking folks, I'd pay the parking, you know.
Yeah.
And then Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, off I'd go, bobtail back up to Thurrock, pick your trailer up and do another week. It was
fantastic.
Money for old rope.
Yeah.
But I say, these dates with trackers and that, you'd never get away with it.
Oh, no.
You go that far. But yeah, I say no one ever said out. I think, you know, I got the job done. The planners sort of had a clue, but they were like, well, you know, as long as he's doing the job, it's not nothing off our, no skin off our nose. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then from there, we went on to the Dutch firm, the Dexco.
Yeah.
At the time, it was basically, I think it, a bit over exaggeration, but Arthur Kent was working for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd go out to like Bergen, bring in the frozen chips for England, and you do a couple of drops. So you ended up, you'd go out one day, out to Bergen, come back to Folkestone. Next day, go up wherever in UK, deliver it, come back to Folkestone for the night. Then you'd chip out empty the next day. And you were home more than you were in the truck.
Yeah.
But it was good fun. And as I say, like on a weekend, there was just Nadexco trucks everywhere, like all around Folkestone, Dover, spare lay-bys. There must have been 30, 40 of us just from around our area on there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was all right. It was, you know, typical Dutch firm. It was all go, but, you know, some days you could be on the train three times a day. You know, if you cop for a short one, you'd go out, load, if you did a Lille instead of Bergen, you'd go out, load Lille, back in, maybe tip Ashford, back out. So, but those were the days where at least you used to get meals on the train as well. So, you could get on the train, get your breakfast. You had a little, you used to have the, like a trolley service, you know.
That's
like now, you're lucky if the coffee machine's working. But no, you come down with a little trolley.
Yeah.
And, you know, you pick what you wanted and, you know, a little slice of cheese and, you know.
Yeah, cool. Forgot all about that.
Yeah, and I mean, it weren't too, it was a bit hit and miss, like, but, you know, it was something better than nothing, whereas now you get the train. It was like, you used to be able to stop as well before you got on the train and walk down to the main terminal and get something to eat, but you can't do that now, so literally, you get on the train, there's your break, you're off the train, and if you're paying for the premium to save time, then obviously you're not going to get off the train and stop and have some lunch. So.
No, exactly.
But did the old Nadexco, and then I finished with him. I fell out with him in the end.
Right.
over weekend working, but by the by, anyway.
Yeah.
So, but I was in the, you know, I was just pottering about doing odd jobs, and I know Kenny Barton, I was doing a few jobs for him down here, and a couple of Davy Malcolm, I did a bit of work for him on the hanging down to Rungis. just things to fill the time in.
Yeah.
And then there was a Austrian lad used to come into the pub called Chris, and he had his own motor. And he was chatting to me one day, you know, as you do at the bar, and he was saying, you know, my boss is after a driver. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't, you know, fancy really living in Austria. You know, it's a bit of a move. And he said, no. He says, you can live in England. He says, the problem is they do a load of groupage on a Friday night for delivery Monday in Austria. Yeah. So they have to leave Friday, obviously with the driving bans on a Sunday in Germany. You leave on a Friday, pull into Folkestone Saturday. Yeah. To be able to deliver Monday in the UK. So he said, it'd work ideal because you'd be home every weekend.
Yeah.
So I phoned the boss up, Herbie, who still in contact with these days. He was a good boss. But I spoke to him and he said, yeah, let's see how it goes. So got a lift out to Austria with one of the other drivers.
Yeah.
And I started there. It's mostly bits of groupage out, printing ink back to Innsbruck, or if you had the fridge trailer, it was frozen foods, usually from Belgium into Switzerland, because we were based in a place called Rankweil, which is right on the Swiss border, so
yeah.
Used to nip into Switzerland quite a bit. Used to do a few bits of car parts as well for BMW at Cowley for the mini plant, so there was always a couple of our trucks in there.
Yeah.
So... yeah, that was a nice job. We did a bit of Scandinavia for him. You know, it was mostly England, but now and again, when it was quiet, the lad in Schenkers who used to give us a bit of work called Marco, he'd say, oh, there's a Denmark here this week, or there's a Sweden. And he'd phone me up, and I'd have to phone Herbie up, say, chance I can do this load. And he'd negotiate a rate and off it'd go. So.
Perfect.
Mm.
Yeah. What were you driving? Yeah. That was an FH as well, wasn't it? But
Yeah, I had a couple while I was there, version 2 and a version 3. Nice silver motors.
Yes.
They were nice. Good old engines. They were all spotless, you know, all alloy wheels, specced with everything you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say I enjoyed it on the fridge work as well. Like, you know, that's... It's easier than doing the Euroliners with a sliding roof. And I think that's where I got me love for the fridge work.
Right.
I'd always prefer fridges than anything else.
Yeah.
So,
open the back doors, put it on a bay. Yeah. Less messing about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few tip yourself jobs, but they were all right. And I say, especially in Switzerland, you get to know which ones would let you tip yourself so you could just get there anytime and get the stuff off.
Yeah, great.
It was all right. And I say, Christmas, I used to have to leave the truck in Austria because I'd have a couple of weeks off, but the boss would always fly you home. He'd take you to the airport. He'd buy you your plane ticket, return. And, he did treat his staff well, so.
Yeah.
And I say, speak to him to this day, you know, I keep in touch with him.
Yeah.
He follows me travels.
Yeah. Well, never burn your bridges.
No. Yeah. A good fella.
Yeah.
And so I did that for getting on for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then I just fancied a right change.
Right.
So I left there.
Yeah.
And I went on to Day Aggregates.
That is quite a change.
From the quarry just down the road at Lyd.
Yeah.
Just delivering bags. Well, sometimes it was on a tipper, but most of it was, you know, your one-ton bags of sand and gravel.
Yeah.
Home every night, and I just fancy the change of, you know, just like being home a bit more. So it was all right. It was an easy job. It was like 7 till 5 most days, and it was all. I'd gone from, you know, all like the European work to UK, where it's all everything's health and safety, and it's safety boots.
Yeah.
High vis, trousers, jumper, goggles, hat, everything paid
underpants,
for
everything,
literally, the whole lot.
Yeah.
And because I remember, like, I still had the European mindset. So I'd done 1 week, I did 3 13-hour days in a row.
Yeah.
And, you know, to get the job done, I'd gone out 7 in the morning, gone and delivered, got a reload on, parked up at 6 o'clock. you know, just standard normal day.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got hauled into the office. So I was like, oh, you know, Russell wants to see you in the office, one of the managers. So I've gone in the office and I'm like, done anything wrong? Because I don't think so. And he says, well, not really, but looked here, it says you've done 3 13-hour days in a row. Yeah. And I said, well, yeah, explained, you know, just been out delivering, got me backload on. He says, we don't run here day and night. And I was like, Jesus. I thought some people had complained about only doing 13 hours.
Yeah.
You'd be in trouble not working hard enough. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, no, he's like, minimum 12 hours off every day. Right. Like, I don't want you having less than 12-hour breaks. So fine.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, it's just finding something to do with your time. And you're finished, I'm used to, you know, getting something quick to eat, shower, bed.
Yeah.
So, it was a different experience.
Yeah. You stick it for long right, then? Because it must be quite a culture shock, really.
Yeah, it was. I think it was more of a novelty, and then the novelty wore off.
Yeah.
And then it was like, no, I need to go back on European. So,
yeah.
I mean, I stuck it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I mean, it weren't a bad job. I mean, the money wasn't all that, but you wasn't really working for the money.
Well, that's it, yeah.
I'm used to, where you're on the European, you're used to getting like an extra 100 or so quid a week because you're doing your nights out.
Yeah.
So you sort of, you miss your tax-free allowance. So,
yeah.
But I'll say no complaints with it. I left there. I did a couple of little jobs bobbing about. Did a bit for Alkaline, which is down at Folkestone here.
Yeah.
Just popping out to Italy. That was nice, easy work, just out and back.
Yeah.
And then I went on with a friend of mine, Matthew Campbell, MJC European.
Yeah, the mayor of Southend.
That's the man. That's the man. So, I mean, I'd known him for a while. And he had a truck available, so I thought, we'd give this a try. And I mean, that was a job with lots of variation. Mm-hmm. You know, one week you'd be on a film shoot, then you were on, like, I did a tour with Madonna, I went on tour with the Eagles, Westlife.
Yeah.
A lot of film work, and then other bits in between, so you know you might have a couple of weeks between tours, so you'd put your own containers for a week or two, and then you'd be on, you know, maybe some flats out of Dover coming in off the boat, or all sorts, shop deliveries.
Yeah,
but that was good, and I had a really nice truck there, you know, the old Super Space Cab DAF, low ride.
Yeah,
you know. Dewlight, fifth wheel, and I went to some great places. You know, I went, had a job to Morocco, and I'd never been there before. And
that was an
experience, but it was good working on the Indiana Jones film. So
there
was a few lads through Neil Johnson, his company got us down there. So
yeah,
out with Mark Thorpe and Luke Hipsey. So there was always someone to show me where to go, and you know, I'll follow him. He's going the same place. So, we come in into Tangier Med and cleared customs there, down to Fez. Had a couple of days in Fez waiting for customs.
Yeah.
Pick the stuff up and we come back. So
brilliant. That's one, that's some one nice place little adventures. I've still never been to Morocco. It's evaded me so far. So I have to try and get a run out there at some point.
Just to A lovely place.
It was
you know, there's some quite poor areas, you know, they're still in the horse and carts and rubbish in the streets. And then obviously in the cities, it's all, you know, they've all got, you know, nice infrastructure now.
Yeah.
But it was a good experience. Everyone was friendly over there and
we
didn't get no trouble.
Excellent.
So I enjoyed that.
Brilliant.
Quite a lot down to Sicily, Sardinia. Worked on the Little Mermaid film down there, and went on tour with Madonna. So we started up in Sweden, Denmark, down to Italy, and Eagles around Europe. Yeah, we had some good times there.
Excellent. And like I say, that's proper variety, isn't it? Whereas like with Ribes, it's just sort of Italy and back constantly.
Yeah.
With this, you just never know where you're gonna be.
No.
The next job
from one week to the next, you don't know whether you know. Away 6 weeks or 1 week. So, yeah. And overview is no bother for me. I was single and I just wanted to travel anyway. There was a few times, you know, I'd be running up from Spain and Matt would bring me a trailer down to Italy. He'd be going to Italy and I'd say, oh, no, I'll do that, you know. Meet up in France, swap trailers, off and go to Italy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was, you know, almost full-time living in the truck. You know, obviously, I had a place to come home to, but I say, with living in a truck, I sort of, you know, I started experimenting with my cooking. Ah. You know, I'd get me weekends.
Yeah.
You know, I think, oh, well, you know, I've got a toaster here on the inverter, toast and, you know, tin of beans. And then why don't I add an egg to that? And I've got a frying pan here. Why don't I do some bacon and sausages as well? And
yeah,
I started my cooking and I've got a little student's cookbook and, you know, I'd spend my weekends going around the markets in these foreign countries picking up ingredients.
Fantastic.
And then through my Facebook, you know, I'd post what I'm eating and, you know, I've just made, you know, so-and-so. I've just done a little mini Sunday dinner and things. And like a friend of a friend, I used to give me grief, like, you know, what on earth are you doing here? Like, you know, and all the other truck drivers would say, you know, that's not relaxing. I'd say, oh, no, this is perfect. I'll do a bit of cooking, have a glass of wine, watch the telly. And, you know, he'd rib me about it. But then one of my friends showed his wife.
Yeah.
He said, look, this is you cooking again. He was like, well, he's doing that in a truck. And I said, yeah. And he's showing her all the stuff I'm cooking in my truck. And she was a reporter.
Oh, right.
So she phones me up and says, oh, you know, I'm a friend of Ian. Says, can I do a story on you?
Yeah.
About your cooking in the truck. And I thought she was winding me up. I said, oh, yeah, you know. So she's interviewed me and got all my pictures. And then the following Sunday, I've got a full page spread in the Sun on Sunday.
So you are
just finished, you know, cooking me tea.
Yeah. So you are a celebrity chef.
Yeah. So. Yeah, not many chefs have had a full page spread in the Sun. Nine truck driving chefs.
And did you ended up with a little stuffed toy of is it the chef from the Muppet Show? Is that right?
Yeah. I got that as a little mascot.
Yeah,
I used to have that in the old truck window for the show me the chef. So,
oh, brilliant!
So, yeah, have
you carried that on the cooking in the cab?
Yeah, not so much recently.
Yeah.
I say where I am now, I do four on, four off.
Yeah.
So I tend to sort of batch cook at home and then, because I'd never had a microwave either, but this truck I've got now has got a microwave in it.
Well, perfect.
And so with me only being away for 3 nights, I sort of travel a bit lighter now, so.
Yeah.
But I always had to, and I carried on my Canada adventures, which we'll move on to next. I was cooked in the cab there and that. So, I say now I just have a bit more time at home where I'm home for 4 days. I've just, like I say, I've just been down in the kitchen before speaking to you doing some spaghetti bolognese. So I had half of it for my dinner and the other half's going to be tomorrow's dinner.
Oh, perfect.
Brooks are back on shift tomorrow, Thursday, Sunday this week. So,
well, fair enough. Excellent.
Yeah, so I did a good few years with Matt, and then one of the nights, funny enough, I was out. I'd seen an advert on Facebook for moving to Canada and driving in Canada, and you sort of seen it. I've never had no intention to move into Canada; it'd not been a lifelong goal. But I seen an advert, and I thought, well, you know, right off, didn't think anything of it, you know, and then. Chap in the office at Eason's company out over there, he got back to me and he said, he says, I've got your application. He said, have you ever done any winter driving and things like that? I said, I've used snow chains for the Austrian and I've been up and down the Alps countless times. And he said, we're looking for drivers. You fancy coming over?
Yeah.
So I said, well, yeah, I'd be interested. So, he said, right, he said, I'll do a Zoom interview with you next week. So, and funnily enough, I'd just done a tour. I was outside Flyby Knight's place in Redditch.
Yeah.
And so I set the Zoom up, spoke to him, you know, told him about my experience. He was happy for me to go over. So I said, well, you know, how long does this process take? You know, because I'd heard stories, people might be trying to take years to get over there. And he says, no, if you're interested, start next week. So he said, all I needed at my end was a European criminal records
check
thing. Yeah. So I applied for that. I got that back, phoned him up, and he said, right, he said, when do you want to come? So I said, well, give me 6 weeks. You know, give me long enough to finish off, give Matt some notice, finish off with him, sell the car, leave the flat, you know, give him a month's notice and basically get rid of everything, you know. The chancy shops must have got that much off me coming away. You know, I kept a few bits, you know, all my main bits, took them up and put them in storage at my mum's.
Yeah.
But yeah, because they supplied, like, what's called the LIMA, LIMA, which basically is, it shows the company needs a driver. Yeah. And they send across a letter me to say that when I get to Canada, I've got a job to go to. Right. So basically, they paid for the flight and they take it out your wages month by month. So, yeah, I took the flight, I flew over to Toronto, went through immigration. Obviously, because I'm working there, they go in a separate office and they say, you know, I'm here for work, show them the letter saying that I've got a job. And there and then you just give you a work permit. I've got a 3-year work permit.
Yeah.
Stamped that, jumped on another plane from Toronto out to Halifax in Nova Scotia, which is near where the depot was, got picked up, and then they had a whirlwind week of visiting doctors for medical exam, got a social security number, picked up a phone, got a bank account, did my theory test for the trucks. Obviously over there, your car license is valid, you can swap that straight for a Canadian one.
Yeah,
but the Canadian CDL, which is called their LGV license, you have to do a test for.
Right.
So I arrived on the Monday, and on the Friday, I took a truck out, because once you've applied for your test, you get 2 weeks of driving before you have to do your test.
Right. Okay.
So you're allowed to drive a truck unaccompanied. With me British license.
Right.
So I did a couple of days in the yard. They took me out with an assessor from the company just to prove I can drive. He said, yeah, you're all right. So I did a few little local runs just to get the hang of the truck.
Yeah.
And I did a bit of shunting, because obviously on the trailers out there, they're all 53 foot rather than our 44s. So I thought, oh, this is all I'm going to struggle with. Is the reversing, just getting used to the size of it.
And with the because the axles are at the rear of the trailer more than what we have, and I presume, did you have a bonneted truck as well?
Yeah, just I did. I
had that as well.
Yeah, I had the big old bonneted. I had the Peterbilt to start with, just while I was learning, and then as soon as I got my test, he gave me a Volvo, a 2-year-old Volvo VNL.
Yeah.
So... luckily, they got me on. There was a bit of a waiting list for the test, but they got a cancellation for me.
Yeah.
So that is me worrying, going for my test. Drove round because, you know, going forward, no problems. I knew what I was doing. And then got back to the test centre for the reversing. I thought, oh, this is where I'm going to struggle now.
Yeah.
Drove in the test centre. He says, right, he says, let's just back up 50 foot into that parking space. So literally... I was dead straight to start with, backed up 50 foot straight. He says, lovely, you've passed.
Really?
I had all this worrying about all me reversing, knocking down cones and thinking I'm going to have to slalom round gates, you know. And literally, that was it. Just basically proved I could go straight in a line.
Blimey.
Engage reverse. So,
Oh, that sounds pretty simple then, really.
Yeah. And then when you see the standard of the drivers out there, then you realise that's...
Right, fair enough. Because obviously, yeah, as we both know, it's quite a different kettle of fish over here, obviously, doing your tests. So, yeah, that just it's surprising, really, how simple it seems then to do your licence and to get out there.
Yeah. And where I was at Easons, they had a... Because they had the work permits available and they couldn't get drivers because it's a bit like over here. There's not many drivers that want to be away for 3-4 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
You know, so they've got these foreign work permits available. And with it being like an ex-Commonwealth, I think they've got deals with like Jamaica and India.
Yeah.
So they pretty much recruit mostly from them countries. Right. You still get a few Brits going over, but the money isn't all that. And like,
right.
We'll get to that in a bit. But yeah, so I say I passed my test and off I went. He gave me this Volvo VNL. And my first trip was out over to Quebec.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was November, like end of October, November when I went out over there. So just ready for the winter.
Yeah.
So I soon got used to the temperatures and snow every day and, you know, things freezing up.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a good experience. I mean, I probably should have done more research before I went.
Yeah,
but like I say, to start with, it was all right because I was going to new places and, you know, but a lot of it, you just never got time to stop. The driving hours are a lot different out over there.
Yeah.
So it was very much an eye-opener. You know, you can drive for 13 hours a day. Not a 13-hour shift. That's 13 hours literal driving. You don't need breaks during the day. So you could effectively start at 6 in the morning, put your foot down, and literally not stop till 7 in an evening. And that's completely legal. You know,
that just, the mind boggles, doesn't it, really? I mean, how you can not even have a legally required break of even like 15, 20 minutes in 13 hours.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And obviously they're not on tachographs either, I presume. Are they, like speaking of Nick Garlick, you know, down under or in New Zealand, they've got like a digital sort of version. What's it in Canada? Is it still logbook?
Yeah. Well, the logbooks, when I was there, they were sort of being phased out.
Right.
And what it is, it's a little tablet, basically a tachograph. But record your hours driven, you know, your rest breaks, your other duty type work.
Yeah.
So it is all logged, but like I say, by the time you've done 13 hours, you've had enough anyway.
You know,
there's drivers complaining about, oh, these ELDs are going to kill the business. We're not going to be able to work. And I'm like, I've done 13 hours. I've had enough. Thanks very much. Right. You know, and they're wanting to carry on.
Yeah.
But... But a lot of that is also due to the way you get paid over there.
Right.
You know, there's no, you're not on a day rate. There's no night out money or anything. It's basically everything you get is down to your mileage.
Really?
So, if your wheels aren't turning, you're not earning, they say.
Blimey, yeah. So no night out money. That's quite surprising, really. But I suppose
nothing.
You're purely paid per kilometre.
Mileage.
Yeah,
you do get sort of layoff if you're delayed waiting for, you know, if you tip a load and if you've waited more than 10 hours for a reload, there's a bit of money,
right?
But you've got to really chase for that, you know. You won't just give it you've got to send all your times in and get it all authorized and get who you spoke to on the phone telling you that there wasn't a job available. And
wow. That surprised me. Did you know that from the start when you went out there with the job?
No. Like, as I say, if I'd have done a bit more research, you would have looked into it.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair to me, it was more of an experience.
Bit of an adventure.
Than the money. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and I mean, because I expected it to be like, you know, like you see on the films, got a big open road and big old truck stops and, you know, everyone sort of eating in a truck stop in the night time, having a beer and that sort of hit me because I say, everyone's driven for 13 hours. No one's eating out in the truck stops. Everyone's eating in the trucks and, in Canada as well, alcohol's hard to get hold of. You know, you can only buy it at a liquor store. Right. Truck stops don't sell alcohol. You know, you think, you know, not to get drunk, but you think, you know, oh, go and park up and have a chin wag and have a beer.
Yeah.
Nah, there's none of that. Like,
none of that.
You know, some of the small towns,
yeah,
like they'll have one off license, one liquor store, and it'll shut at 6 in an evening. And you're like, well, what do you want to do if you're having an, you know, you live there and you just fancy having it, like, you know, you've got some guests coming round, you know. Oh, sorry. Yeah. You can't get anything till tomorrow.
You've got a plan ahead, that's for certain, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And what also I didn't realise is, you know, I didn't know about the driving hours, you know, is fair enough. But you don't have to have a, you can drive 14 days non-stop, and then after 14 days, you've got to have 24 off.
So you can drive for 14 days, doing 13 hours a day, theoretically non-stop, and then you've got to have one day off.
Yeah, yeah. Technically, I think it works out 70 hours a week on your driving.
Yeah.
So you can do, if you do your 13s every day, you end up having to stop at the end of the week.
Yeah.
But like I say, if you did, you know, if you're on a job where you only get, you might do a 15-hour shift, but you're driving 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
Then you can drive 14 days non-stop.
Constantly. Flipping heck.
Yeah. So yeah. I was thinking, you know, I'll be able to stop and go and visit towns and stuff. And there was none of that.
None of that. It was just go, and then sitting about waiting for a reload, thinking, well, not getting paid at the moment, you know, come on. And then you're just going to want to chase that reload and get going again back the other way, I guess. Yeah.
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 I mean, I got some good jobs. Like I said, I did a few over, like, coast-to-coast jobs.
Yeah.
They're like 6 days' drive across Canada from 4,000 miles or something like that, from Nova Scotia on one end, from the docks at Halifax across to, to Washington State, is it Vancouver? Is that on the other side?
My knowledge of Canada's geography isn't very good, because I know, Nova Scotia's on the east coast, isn't it?
It's
sort of closest to the UK. So, is Vancouver and Vancouver Island on the other side, on the west side?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I did a few jobs across there, bit down to Washington State in the US, which is the first state below Canada on the west coast.
Yeah.
Did quite a bit down through North and South Carolina. We used to do a job for Michelin.
Right.
Down there. And I managed to get a weekend off in New York.
Oh, right.
Only by breaking down on a Friday afternoon in New Jersey.
Just what you want.
Coming through. I was just getting ready. I was about 30 minutes from the truck stop I was looking for.
Yeah.
And the truck engine went. So I got told, Wrecker comes out, tows me in, and this is a Friday afternoon in New Jersey. So the mechanics come out and said, you know, we'll have to see you on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, so brilliant. He said, there's a hotel across the road here, and, you know, there's a supermarket down the road, so there's everything you need. But he said, where it was, it was just some little small outback town.
Yeah.
So I ended up, I thought, sod it, you know, probably won't get the chance to do this again. So I got an Uber into New York.
Yeah.
I had a walk around New York, did all the old tourist thing, went round there. Like Times Square and Central Park. I went up the Empire State Building,
brilliant,
taking all my photos.
Yeah.
Had a good old day.
And
I thought, I've got much to say. I've not done half of it. So I'd only got my coat and, like, you know, my wallet. And I thought, that's sod it. I went past the hotel and said, right, sod it. I'll just book it here, you know.
Yeah.
I can do in the same clothes for 2 days. So
yeah.
I went in this hotel called the New Yorker.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, have you got any rooms? Yeah, we've got rooms, no problem. And he said, you're traveling, eh? I said, well, I told him, I said, actually, I'm a truck driver. And I said, broke down and a mere, because, you know, the English accent.
Yeah.
So he said, you don't want an upgrade, do you? I said, oh, go on. He said, we'll do you a cheap upgrade, get a corner view. So lovely. I've gone to the lifts, you know, and it's got, like, it said four something or other. So I said, got the old concierge on the lift. So I said, oh, yeah. And he says, oh, no, sorry, you got the wrong lift. And I said, well, I said, I'm on the fourth floor. He said, no. I'm like, you're on the 40th. And I was like, oh, right. So I've gone up in the lift, got this room. And literally, I could corner suite. I could see the whole of New York up north to Central Park and across the west out onto seeing over the river in New Jersey. You know, cracking 2 days.
Excellent.
So yeah, I made the most of it in that way. So you didn't get much time off, but
yeah,
I did sort of struggle because where it was, you know, you're driving, going to bed, driving, going to bed, and you were just never having conversations with anyone. And you'd see someone on a, like, you know, at a warehouse, and you'd say bay two driver, and you go on bay two. Oh, thanks very much. And, you know, I was on the phone a lot, you know, speaking to my friends, but it's sort of like it started to affect you because you were just, you're on your own and you were never speaking to anyone. And it started getting to me a bit.
Yeah.
And
there's
no human interaction. Literally. And, you know, I remember I went and stopped at some place and I was getting my hair cut and the woman's chatting to me and, oh, I like your accent and so. And I said, you know, I said, I must have been there like 20 minutes. We were having a chat. I said, this is the first chat I've had with someone for, must be 2 months, you know, and she couldn't believe it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's I can see how that's going to affect your mental health. Just being so isolated, really.
Yeah. And we've not having going over with a family. I know there's a couple of English lads going over there. And, you know, they've got families to get back to, sort of thing. So,
yeah,
it's a bit easier for them. So, yeah, and I'd got to the stage where, like, with Nova Scotia being right on the East Coast, there's only one road out of it, you know. So,
yeah.
I'd seen the same road countless times. And I was like, I don't know. I was sort of, this is after about 9-10 months, I was debating going back to the UK.
Yeah.
But then a job come up in Newfoundland Island,
right,
which is even further east than Nova Scotia. Literally, it's the closest point to Europe, is the city there, St. John's.
Right.
And it's 3.5 hours time difference in the UK, which confused a lot of people, the extra half an hour.
Yeah.
But I'd done a few trips out over there while I was with the company.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, you know, rather than just go back straight away, I'll give it a go. So I went out over there and that was all right, because basically you've got a port at one end, Port of Basque, where all the trailers come in from the mainland.
Yeah.
And the main city's St. John is literally on the west coast, where they have a lot of oil rigs out there, so it's all oil-based industries.
Right.
So, and it's like 10-hour drive from one end of the island to the other. So,
yeah.
I mean, we were all fridges, so we'd bring in food for all the Walmarts and all the little groceries from off the mainland, bring them into St. John's, and then we'd go around the little fishing villages, because you've got a big fishing industry there, crabs and salmon and things like that, depending on the season.
Yeah.
So we'd reload back for the other side of the island. So I ended up being based in St. John's, and I used to get, you know, you might only be home once a week, but you got most weekends off.
Right.
So I got to know people in the local area. You know, I found a little bar, and I used to go there on a Saturday afternoon and watch the ice hockey.
Yeah.
And it was good. I felt a lot more at home, and, you know, everyone was friendly. They used to take me to ice hockey to watch the ice hockey games.
Excellent.
And it was a nice place. And it was like the size of England is Newfoundland.
Right.
But with only 1% of the population.
Wow.
So you do a night shift. If, you know, the boat used to come into Port of Basque twice a day, one in the morning and one in the evening.
Yeah.
So if you got a trailer off the evening boat, you know, there'd be a fair few drivers there waiting for the trailers.
Yeah.
You could be driving from one end to the end. You wouldn't see anyone for, like, coming the other way for like an hour on the main road across the island, because people never, you know, just,
yeah,
nothing just to disappear. Do it. It's only the truck drivers out at night.
Yeah.
The truck drivers and moose.
Yeah.
There's moose everywhere, you know. You get, but once a night somewhere on the island, they'd have a moose smash through the front of a truck. And they'd all have all the moose bars and the extra lights on. And
yeah.
It's funny, it was like the old days, because everyone was on CB as well. So, you know, they'd come the other way. Someone would say, oh, I've seen a moose so-and-so, or you know, if you're in a bit of a convoy, there's 9 or 10 of you coming off the boat, they'd be, oh, watch out, there's a moose coming up, and one at the back of the queue would be, you know, no. And then, you know, everyone has sort of, there's a few gas stations on the way.
Yeah.
So you do like 3 hours into Deer Lake, you'd pull in the gas station, everyone would have a coffee, and then you'd sort of carry on down across the island.
Yeah. So it was almost like coming back to Europe, where you've got a bit of camaraderie, you've got a little bit of a social life of a weekend, you've kind of, it's going to be helping improve your mental health, isn't it? And you're going to, you're also not, you're not going to be doing 13 hours constantly because you just can't. So you're not driving quite as much, but
no, the flip side, no, I mean, you'd sometimes hit your 13s because you go up and, you know, you come off the main road up to a fishing village and back. But a lot of the time you get to the boat, you drop off your trailer, and if there wasn't one there to pick up, you get the next one.
Yeah.
So it'd be like another 12 hours before the unaccompanied trailer had come across. So, or if it was there, you might pick it up and just do an hour up the road just to give you a bit of a head start the next day.
Yeah, yeah. So, that must have made it a bit more sort of bearable, really, for after sort of being on the mainland as such. And
yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even just stopping in the regular places, like you got to know the girls behind the counter at the gas stations, and, you know, you had a lot of regular customers, especially the little grocery stores.
Yeah.
You know, and out the on the old fishing villages, everyone was involved in the fishing. So they were welcoming, like, to trucks, you know.
Yeah.
Like, over it, you know, you get to this fishing village and you'd say, like, you know, the trawler's not in, where do I park? And I'm like, no, you park there on the side of the road where all these houses are. Because everyone works in the fishing industry. You're there taking their fish. Yeah. They want you there to move the fish. So,
oh, fair enough.
Yeah, they'd invite you in for cups of tea and, you know.
Excellent.
But it's the friendliest place I've ever been, Newfoundland. And I'm looking to go back again next year just as a tourist. But just to go and see my old friends and see bits of the island I didn't get to see when I was driving. So,
yeah.
Very, very scenic place, a lot of hills, forests, deer, a lot of, you know, polar bears in parts. And,
wow.
You know.
Yeah. So I presume you sort of wouldn't go back sort of full time to go over there driving. You sort of, it's kind of like you've ticked that box, even though it wasn't a box to tick as such, but you've been there, done it. And you,
now
you know the pitfalls, you wouldn't choose to go out there necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, while I was there, I mean, the money wasn't a bother for me because I was living in the truck because I was never anywhere twice. And when I was in Newfoundland, now and again, I'd get a hotel on the weekend just to get me out the truck.
Yeah.
But where I was at the terminal, you had like a kitchen there and a washer dryer, so supermarket around the corner.
Yeah.
And in Canada as well, you can drive the truck unit only without clocking up your driving time.
Oh, right, okay.
Like personal use, and you can it give you like I can't remember how many kilometers it was, like 40-50 kilometers you can use for personal use, because to say all the drivers used to take the trucks home, so that wasn't a bother. But because I'd been there like nearly 2 years, they were saying like, to if you want your residency, you can apply for residency after 2 years when your work permit expires,
right?
But to have residency, you need to have like a home address.
Ah, okay.
And that'd mean, you know, renting commitment somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd probably need a car. And
yeah.
And I thought, I say the money, on Newfoundland, I wasn't getting as many miles in because obviously it's a bit hillier. So you can't drive at 105, 110 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
You know, all the time. So I was getting a bit less than I was on the mainland.
Yeah,
and I just thought it's just not worth it, you know. I was taking, you know, living in the truck for 5-6 days a week and taking on 500 quid, 600 quid sometimes if we had a really busy week. But you know,
yeah.
And I mean, I do that 4 days on, 4 days off now, so more than that. So it's like, you know, I've done it. Like basically, like you say, I've done it. I mean. The second winter wasn't too bad because I was used to the snow, so I was used to chaining up and I was used to, you know, minus 30, tipping de-icer down your airlines to unlock your brakes. And, but I just thought, first winter was bad. Second winter, I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it was a novelty. And I thought, by the time I do a third winter, I'll just have had enough.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. But, it was a great adventure and a sort of time in your life.
Oh,
where,
yeah.
Again, you've made some new friends for life. You're going to go back and see them.
Yeah. I don't regret it one bit. You know, I'll come back to the UK.
Yeah.
Got a job straight away. I've not missed out on anything.
Yeah.
And like I say, if I'd have done the research before, I might have been a bit better set up, but
yeah.
Like I say, I'm glad. I'm glad I did it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Bowling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you left Canada and you came back. When did you come? It was last year, wasn't it? You came back rather than this year?
No, just earlier this year.
So you came back in April.
I come back to where I was living beforehand.
Yeah.
I told my friend, well, basically it was Kevin from Gillespie's, the pub where we used to live above in Folkestone. He's got a property in Dover, and I was renting that before I left.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to Kev when I come, well, he knew I was coming back, kept in touch. He says, I've still got this place at Dover available. So I ended up moving back into the place I used to live.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I've been away so long, I thought, right, I'm just going to get a nice little UK job.
Yeah.
I'm going to be home every night. And so anyway, I had a couple of weeks off. I went and spent some time with mum. Had a few days down the pubs with my mates. And then I thought, right, I've caught up on all the gossip now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to be back every night. You know, I can catch up on the gossip once a week, once a fortnight.
Yeah.
So a job come up on AE Chilled here out of Dover. They're a fridge company.
Yeah.
And I knew a few of the lads on there. And basically they got me the job without asking me, to be honest. They said, we've got you a job, Chris. You start in 2 weeks.
Oh.
So I was like, all right, then. I don't know what I want to do yet. And I thought, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
So I spoke to Alan, the boss there, and he took me on, and I started on a 6-day, 5-day contract.
Right.
Doing the European side.
Yeah.
And then they lost a contract and scaled the work back, and they put me on 4 on, 4 off.
Right.
And so I started on the 4 off. Oh, this isn't for me. I said, I'll do it. And I'll look for something else.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been on that a few months now because it's cracking. So you do 4 days work. You're only doing 3 nights out a week. And then you've got 4 days off. You know, I'm used to coming home, doing my shopping, doing my washing, a few bits and pieces. And then you're putting your stuff back in the truck. Whereas now, doing my shopping and my washing on my first day, I've got 3 days off. So
yeah. And you can plan a life around it, can't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, last week, I had the weekend off. I was off Saturday till Tuesday. So I went away for the weekend. I went up and seen my mum.
Yeah.
I still come back down. I had a day out in Folkestone. Just jumped on the bus over there from Dover. So £2 on the bus.
Lovely.
You can go and have a drink. You don't even need to take your car. So
yeah, fantastic. You're happy there and
see how it goes. It does for now. I mean, the long-term plans is to get me home. I mean, because obviously I went to Canada so quickly.
Yeah.
Before I went to Canada, I was planning on, perhaps getting my own truck, and I'd done my CPC.
Right.
The transport my job.
Yes.
And I did my CPC exam the week before I left for Canada, because obviously I'd booked it that far in advance, the exam.
Yeah.
So I knew I was leaving. So, I mean, I just went and did the exam. I mean, to be fair, I didn't even do that much revision, because I thought, which might have helped me with not getting stressed over it. So I went and did the exam.
Yeah.
And then while I was in Canada, a few weeks after I'd been there, he wrote back to me and said, oh, we've got your results. So I thought, I'm not really revised, never mind. Anyway, I looked at it and passed both modules. So,
wow, congratulations.
Yeah, so I've got that. And basically, sometime maybe springtime next year, I'd be looking into getting my own. I've got a few contacts with all my years in the trade, so hopefully that'll help me out to get a bit of work. And I think it's just another, one of the things I want to tick a box on is I've got my own truck.
Give it a try.
I've got a lot of friends that have done it, so, and they, a lot of them seem to be successful, you know, so.
Why not?
That's my plans for the future.
Excellent. Well, I wish you every success with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Right, well, we're just about running out of time now, Chris, so we'll wrap this up. It's been fascinating. Certainly learned a lot about Canada, and maybe sometimes not all that glitters is gold sort of thing. But
good experience, but I say, you're going to go over, do a bit of research.
Yeah, fair enough, absolutely. Well, on that note, I'll bid you farewell and safe travels. When are you back to work?
Back in the morning. Tomorrow.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you know where you're going?
I don't know where I'm going yet, but they sent me a GMR through, so I'm going abroad somewhere.
Fair enough. Well, that'll do to start your week, won't it?
Yeah.
Hopefully somewhere warm. Well, safe trucking, Chris, and we'll perhaps catch up with you next year if you've got your own truck and see how it's all going.
Aye, with no problem at all.
Brilliant. Thanks for your time, Chris. We'll speak to you soon.
Hey, no bother, Matt. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. See you, mate.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast sponsored by Fortune Tires. Fortune Tires and International Tires, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.